Blog Talk Radio.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? Is this not why you are here?
Turn the music up. Turn me down. Cool. Let's go get him again. Time is for the money, man. Brooklyn, stand up.
Never been a nigga this good for this long, this hood, for this pop, this hot, for this strong, with so many different flows. This one's for this song, the next one I switch up, this one will get bit up. He's too lazy to make up, they crazy, they don't paint pictures, they just trace me, you know what? Soon they forget where they pluck, they hold style from, they try to reverse the outcome. I'm like, huh? I'm not a biter, I'm a writer for myself and others. I say a big verse, I'm only bigging up my brother, bigging up my barrel. I'm big enough to do it, I'm that barrel. Plus I know my own flow is foolish. So the rings and things you sing about, bring them out. It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth. I'm in new sneakers, dual seaters, few divas. What more can I tell you? Let me spell it for you. W-I-L-L-I-E. Nobody truer than H-O-V. And I'm back for more. New York's ambassador. Prime Minister, back to finish my business up. Rain in a drought, stuntin' on, brushing off my shirt, but ain't nothing on my clothes, set my chains, my name, Young H.O., pitch the yay faithful, even if they patrol, I make payroll, Benz payful, friends they roll, private jets down to Turks and Caicos, Chris caseloads, I don't give a one life to live, I can't let a day go, fly without me being fly, fresh to death, head to toe to the day I rest. And I don't wear jerseys, I'm 30 plus. Give me a crisp pair of jeans, button up. S dots on my feet, make my cycle complete. What more can I say? Guru, play the beat. We gon' let this ride into the hook. I'ma snap my fingers on it. What more can I say to you? Get my grown man on. Let's go! Now you know your is Willy when they got you in the mag for like half a Billy, and your ain't Lily White. That mean that you right must be illy. Either that or your flow is silly. It's both. I don't mean to boast, but damn if I don't brag, gon' act like I ain't on it. The Martha Stewart, that's far from Jewish, far from a Harvard student, just had to do it. And no, I'm not doing it. In fact, I'm just previewing it. This ain't the show, I'm just EQing it. 1-2, when I won't stop abusing it. The groovy girl, stop false accusing it. Back to the music, the Maybach roof is translucent. Got a problem, Houston? What up, B? They can't shut up me. Shut down I, not even PE. I'm a ride. God forgive me for my brash delivery. But I remember vividly what these streets did to me. So picture me, let these clowns nitpick at me. Paint me like a pickaninny. I would literally kiss TT in the forehead. Tell her please forgive me to squeeze into your forehead. I'm not the one to score points off. In fact, I got a joint to knock your points off. Young, over the garden, it's blasphemy. I'm at the Trump International, ask for me. I ain't never scared. I'm everywhere, you ain't never there. Why would I ever care? Pound for pound, I'm the best to ever come around here. Excluding nobody, look what I embody. The soul of a hustler, I really ran the street. A CEO's mind, that marketing plan with me. And no, I ain't get shot up a whole bunch of times. I'll make up in a whole bunch of lines. And I ain't animated like say a Busta Rhyme. But the real you get when you bust down my lines. Add that to the fact I went plat a bunch of times. Times that by my influence on pop culture, I supposed to be number one on everybody's list. We'll see what happens when I no longer exist. This.
What's good, Philly? Your host of Philly Talk was there, Pitts. And tonight, my special guest is Kev Green. What's good, Kev?
What's up, man? What's up, man? That's a powerful cut right there, man. I'm still just listening. I was listening to that jig. I ain't heard that shit in a long time.
That's what's up, man. First of all, before we really get into it, man, I just want to shout out the family down there in Houston, Texas, that's really going through it right now. I was listening to Spielberg's show earlier. You know, a lot of people trying to put something together in the bully community to get supplies down there to the people in need in that Houston area. So much love, much respect to the people down there in the Houston area. And let's hopefully, as a bully community, we can get the stuff needed to them down there.
For sure, for sure. Is this live right now?
No, I just meant, it's live. It's, you know, it's me and you right now. I didn't really promote it
you
like that.
Cause, it time?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I played it
okay.
Time. So it's all good.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, shit, man. Yeah, man, big shout out to Joel Vargas, man, Team Positive, the whole Team Positive. Man, he's really been doing a lot with that since he started it a few months back, man. Doing a lot of positive things, man, inside and outside of the bully community, man. So shout out to him, David Garcia, I can't remember everybody that's involved with it, man. But shout out to all them, everything they're doing, and yeah, prayers for Houston, man. It's terrible, but it's like somebody just posted up like all the last four hurricanes all came in this same like week. But different years apart, like Katrina, Isaac, I think it was Gustav, and all this one, all in this like same time period, like August 29th area.
Have you ever been to Houston?
I've been to Houston one time, yeah.
Okay. For a dog show or just personal reasons?
Personal reason. Well, back in the day, I used to do music, man. We were down there in the Cloverland, man. We were down there with Lil Flip and Hump. We had the Sucker Free Records, man. We was down there checking them out.
Well, that's what's up.
Yeah, we were down there, man.
Man, let's jump right into it, man. When did you get started with the American Bully World?
With the American Bullies, well, like I kind of said, man, when I first started out, man, I used to do music. That's why I'm Kev Green. Well, that's not my name. My name's Kevin Greco, but my name is Kev Green because I came in here because I did music, and I got a dog out of the paper for free. You know, I was looking through the classified, and it said Blue Pit Bull for free. And so I called it up, and I was like, you know, let me come check the dog out or whatever. And he was like, well, I talked to the guy a little bit, and he was like, well, I had somebody else come in to look at it, but I like how you sound better, so why don't you come over here and check out the dog. And at that point in time, like, I've had a pit bull or two in my lifetime, but at that point in time, I had, like, a basset hound or something like that, crazy, you know what I'm saying? And so I didn't really know nothing, you know, I've had pit bulls, but I don't really know nothing about, you know, ever. I didn't really know nothing about it. And so I go check out this dog, and it's like this beautiful, I thought it was like out of a Snoop Dogg video, like this beautiful big blue dog. She hands me this scroll with it, and she's like, oh, this is the papers or whatever. And she was like, her brother had passed away a year ago, and that was his dog or whatever. And she had it, but she just couldn't get it no more. And then so I brought it home. It ended up whooping my dog's ass that I had a couple times, so that didn't work out, man. So we gave him the home, the basset hound that we had. But then I kind of started, my girl was like, started looking at his paperwork. You know, it came with a big seven-generation paperwork, but I didn't really know nothing about that, what all that was about. But my girl, like, started Googling stuff, and she was like, oh, PR, that means like Purple Ribbon, like, you know, like this might be a good dog. And I kind of like started Googling like dogs' names and the pedigrees and stuff like that. And I talked to a couple of people that like had the, I found like somebody else that had another dog off the litter, talked to them, kind of learned a little bit about it. And then somebody introduced me to the Midwest Bully Board, which was kind of like the Lead Edge Board or whatever, message boards, you know, back before MySpace and all that. And I seen that, you know, I couldn't believe that there was this place that you could go on the computer and you could post something and all these people would see. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you've been on the message boards before, right?
Yeah, I've been on the MSN message boards because right after that shutdown, that's when that Lead Edge board was really hot during that time.
Right, yeah, I think I was probably like a little bit after the MSN boards. It was like around 2009 when all this was taking place, 2008 or something like that. And so anyway, so I started meeting, you know, a couple of people, talking to people, whatever, and then I seen that bully board, and then I was like, man, like, because I was doing music, you know, and so I seen like the bully community was like the lowrider community, kind of, you know what I'm saying? Like, people would come all over for this shit, so I was like, that's a no better place to promote some music, guys. So that's why I would start, was like, I'm going to start a magazine up. And so I started keeping a bully magazine, and that's the reason why I started it, was because I was going to just trying to do music, and I was going to try to just promote it through that. But I got so caught up with doing the magazine and bully stuff that all the music never happened again. And I just went full force with the dogs pretty much.
Now, just speaking on the Keeping the Bully magazine, during that time, you remember Atomic Dog magazine. That was like really the big thing as far as media-wise for the American Bully during that time. But, you know, it really catered to the elite edge groups and I would say probably the Midwest and maybe some Texas dogs. What was the spark to really create the Keep It Bully magazine? Like you said, as far as incorporating that with the music that you were doing. But was there something else that also helped spark the Keep It Bully magazine during that time?
Well, it was like you said, the only thing there was Atomic Dog, and they were pretty much Elite Edge, you know, pretty much Elite Edge focus, you know, it was focused around them. Gotti Line magazine was out a little bit, but, you know, that was pretty much focused on that. And so I was just like, you know, there were so many people in the Midwest, so I was like, you know, there got to be something for the Midwest. And, like, you know, being a rapper, I don't know if you knew about Murder Dog magazine, you know, about Murder Dog back in the day?
Murder Dog, I don't.
It was like an underground, there was the source, which was the
I
big one, and then there was Murder Dog, which was like all the underground that shit. And that's what I was, okay. That was my inspiration. Like, I wanted to do something for the underground, like, of the bully community, like the Midwest and whoever, but like not the people who are the only, just the top ass people, like everybody, you know what I'm saying? Trying to give different people shine like that. So that was kind of my inspiration for that, like, to try to do something, like, you know, not as mainstream, like, you know, kind of like, and I was going to try to mix music into it. You know, I had a section called Ears to the Street, and I used to do a you know, like a music radio station, but I stopped doing that too.
If I vaguely remember, didn't you do a rap song to dogs back then? About dogs back then?
So
didn't you have a rap
song?
Well,
there's a video that there's me and my dogs playing at the river. That's on the Keeping the Bully YouTube channel. That I did a song, you know, that was like Keep It Bully over here. Like, I used to do all the videos. There was like a little part that I did a hook for it. I did one song for it, but I didn't do like there was a couple people that did some good songs, but I didn't do an actual song about it.
Okay, yeah, because I was looking for that video because I remembered it from back in the day, but I could not find it for nothing, man.
YouTube.com/keepingitbully without a G, Keeping It Bully. It's on there. It's called Bruiser and Junebug at the River. And it's that song in the background.
How many issues did that magazine ever have, by the way, before it stopped? Why did it stop?
I don't know. It's still going on, from what I know. Shout out to Israel.
Oh, okay,
you know,
but you're not
involved. You know what I'm saying? I'm not involved.
You're not.
I ain't been involved in it since the end of 2012, probably. So so.
You know, I had spoke to Khan one time. You know, I was asking him who was instrumental in really bringing the Midwest together, but he was probably thinking more of the modern times when he had mentioned Tyler. Just thinking back to when you got started with the Bullies in the Midwest, who was really instrumental in the Bully in the Midwest scene during that time, and really bringing the Midwest together and really showcasing the dogs out there in the spotlight?
Well, the main people that, you know, when I come in from the outside looking in, you know, when I just kind of look at, I went from like the Bully Boards, and before that there was the Free Webs. The little free, you know, you do your little free webs website, and then they got your comment board, and then people that comment, you know, that was the way you could check other people's sites out back then. But like the people that stood out the most to me was Outlaw Kennels and Manny from Outlaw Kennels. He's the one that did the Midwest Bully Board and had the Midwest Bully Board in the first place. And I'm always owe it to him because, like, back with the Elite Edge board and all that, like, I used to try to post up stuff about keeping the Bully magazine on there, try to promote on there. And as soon as I put something up, they would erase it and block it, you know, block me from that. They wouldn't allow nothing else to be promoted on there. And he's the only one that let me promote on there. And he didn't know me back in the day, back when I was putting that shit up, before I knew Israel. I was posting that shit up everywhere. And he let me do it, you know, if it wasn't for him. Not deleting that shit like everybody else, you know, I wouldn't be here doing this right here. so shout out to
him. Now, during that, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was just thinking, like, during that time, was Keeping a Bully magazine geared toward the Midwest dogs, or was it for the entire Bully community, or was there something you really wanted to spotlight the Midwest during that time?
It was pretty much for the Midwest when it first started out. I mean, it was open to everybody, but that's what we pretty much focused on. But there was also Steve from Pure Blue Pits, Fabian from Olivo Bulls used to be Mafioso Kennels, Chi-Town Pits. Like there was a lot of people in the Midwest for me to try to name them all, but Grant Warraw Pits. I don't know. There's too many. There's a whole lot to name, but that's some of the people that were kind of making noise back then. Bathhouse Kennels, they were real big. AAO, Against All Odds Kennels, they were doing their thing real big. Just a couple. Wanted to shout out
just
a few more.
Just thinking back during that time, did the Midwest feel they weren't getting the same type of love as far as dogs like in Cali and Texas during that time?
Pretty much, and that was it, man, because Cali was really, really, really big back around that time, and people didn't know a lot of them big dogs, like Bismarck. He came from out of Indiana, from Steve from Pure Blue Pits. It was like a last pick that got returned to Steve a couple of times. Nobody wanted. Dude ended up buying it and blew up Biz Blood all over Thailand, big as hell out there. Thailand. Like, it's crazy.
You know, I never knew that.
That's a crazy story.
He was really a last pick. He was a last pick.
He was one that he couldn't have trouble getting rid of. He like got returned to him twice before he ended up selling him again. So, yeah, I know he probably kicked himself in the ass for that one.
Wow, I never knew that, man.
Just
thinking back during that time, what was the dog that really put the spotlight on the Midwest? That had people from all over start saying, yeah, they got some heat out there.
Well, I know Steve had a lot of good dogs. T.I. was one. There's one Little Lokes. There was one Yayo that was making a lot of noise. There was Playboy from Pachuco Pits. That was probably one of the first champion of the Midwest was a dog named Memphis. I'm pretty sure the second one was a Playboy from Pachuco Pits. AO had a dog, Scooby Doo and Coco. They were real big. I don't know. I know Steve had a lot of the heat back then. He was like one of the top dogs for sure.
What was the first dog that really caught your eye?
first song they caught my eye that I really liked from, I like Gooch, because I found Gooch Land Pits on the website, and I couldn't believe that those dogs were as little as a bucket until I seen them in person, because my dog standing next to a duck bucket was big as hell, like, and the dude was posting pictures of his dogs that are littler than a bucket. I couldn't even believe it until I saw them in person. But yeah, Gooch was one of my favorites. I don't know. He was definitely one of my favorites, though. Gooch was probably one of the big ones.
Yeah, just thinking back during that time when you speaking about Gooch, was that particular style even popular during that time, or was it still about the big dogs, like what you saw in Texas and Cali?
Yeah, it was about the big dogs. It was about more towards the extreme dogs. Like, that was something new, you know, to have something that little and that put together that was winning and was a grand champion and shit. Like, he was the only one that was doing it like that back then. And that is what, like, you would probably consider clean exotic now. Like, he was doing it. That was back then. You know, he was doing his own thing for a long time with that, man. So I ain't heard from Larry in a long time, but shout out to Larry from Goochland. But, yeah, back then, that's when the dogs in the ring were more bully, you know, and they had the extreme class, and all the dogs were more massive. You'd walk into the show, and just so many dogs, you'd see that dog, and you'd be like, damn, damn, damn. You know, like, nowadays, you walk in the show, it ain't the same effect like that. You know, it ain't the same effect like that.
Do you think that the reason for that, because of the way social media is now, that you pretty much see the dogs and the videos, when before you didn't have that, so you had to go to show and really see them like that?
Yeah. And that's kind of why I stopped doing so much live. I do it like a little bit of live on the BRC shows, but like, I don't want, you know, you got to come out, because once I was doing that, too many people got dependent on that. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, I don't got to go out, I can just watch it. You know what I'm saying? If that was the case, if I could have kept doing it, I would have tried to do a pay-per-view or something. You had to pay-per-view or something. Like, you know, it shouldn't be an option. You know what I'm saying? It should be like, if you can't come, if you're on the other side of the country, that's cool. But it shouldn't be like, oh, I ain't got to go to no more shows. I just, dude's going to give me the best. Dude's going to give me a cold-ass live feed to the whole thing. I don't got to see shit. I mean, you know, they see you better because you're in the ring on the dogs. You know, they don't see that shit at the show. So I was like, man, you got to quit being so nice.
I'm going to get back to that. Before I get to that, I'm going to ask you first. What came first for you? Was it the emceeing of a show or becoming the show host?
Emceeing probably.
How did that all come about for you?
Well, when we started keeping the Bully magazine, Big Rick, who I'm with now with BRC, he was doing it because he shows like probably some of the only ones that were down there, and he started having us come down there to MC, and Israel was pretty much doing the MC, and then I was like, you're walking around doing all the filming and all that shit like that, but just got to be a couple of times when we were at the shows and Buffer got too crunk and shit, so I had to take up the emceeing part and shit. I just kind of got used to it. And then that was it. Then I kind of, you know, started doing my own thing or whatever. And then a couple of people had me come MC, and then I just started doing my own show.
Do you remember the first time what was the first time like when you was a show host?
MC it or throwing my own show?
Throwing your own show.
See, it was great. It was great because I was doing the Bully Block shit, and I was also doing that I Bully with Danny at the time. It was pretty hot at the time, so people were already in tune with me and the shit I was doing, so they were. It was easier for me to, you know, get them out there. I think the first real show I did was Topeka, Kansas, and it was like, huge. Like, I got Marco Suarez to come out, and Ryan Ramos were two of the judges. I think I had three or four shows, but to get Marco Suarez out was rare as hell. So like, it was a good ass show, that one.
Just thinking back to that first show that you had, do you remember the good from it and some of the mistakes that you made from that show?
Yeah. Every show is always a learning experience. I mean, even now, but yeah. But I mean, then you know, sometimes you try to be too nice, and I try to include some like weight pulling and some like. People had these presser canarios out there. I tried to include that breed because somebody asked me and they had a weight pull there. But, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever been to a show where people bring those dogs, but you're at a show and mowers come in with, like, a trailer of the big-ass jail cages, like, thick-ass bars, and these dogs are like, like, acting all crazy in there like this. But that was a big mistake. And, like, they had to, they weren't used to, like, they were just coming somewhere and letting their dogs pull. They weren't used to like paying for shit. So they were like, it was just a big problem. And then they were on there complaining afterwards. And somebody like, I couldn't go back there because like somebody, like they were mouthing off to somebody that worked there and shit. Like, so like, but that was a big part of not being able to go back to that place. I couldn't go back. It was a real good show, but there's, few places that we can't go back to because of shit like that. People not picking up after themselves and shit. So I learned now I got to hire somebody. You can't sit and depend on people to pick up after their dogs, even though they're supposed to, you know what I'm saying? And then get on fucking Facebook and try to make people look bad and shit, man. Fucking, you're supposed to have somebody there picking that shit up. You know what I'm saying?
Just thinking back, like, because you had mentioned the Bully Block. How did that whole concept and whole brand even come to existence?
Shit, man. Out of the air, man. Shit, I left the Bully, keeping the Bully magazine, and said I kind of just chilled for a while and didn't do shit.
I guess
kind of like came up with that shit.
I guess the reason I asked that, because I don't know if you remember, you remember Memo had that show, the American Bully Show on Kush TV?
Mm-hmm.
Where he had that,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
episode,
yeah,
like, every week, yeah, going around, because that was, like, man, that,
yeah,
was the thing,
yeah,
back then, man. So what was that, like,
yeah,
like, that's why I asked what was the inspiration behind the Bully Block.
Yeah, well, yeah, when that was going on, that was when I was doing the video, when we were doing the magazine, I did the magazine for probably I don't know, it was like 3 years or something, but I did all the video, you know, so I was already doing videos and shit, so I just kind of put something together. Like if you go to the youtube.com/thebullyblog, I got like 5 episodes on there, like what I was trying to do. You know, I was trying to do like a little, drop something like every month or two, like a little hour-long thing or something, you know. I got like 5 episodes, but then that's when I started doing shows, and then right when I started doing shows, I didn't have time to edit shit since.
Now I remember with the Stacked Up magazine, Yard to Yard. Was you a part of that or no?
No. That's Ricky's.
Ricky's, okay. Yeah, because I wasn't,
yeah,
quite sure about that. Yeah. Now just thinking, when you eventually became a major show host for a registry. Well, you know, one of the big things that you did was take shows to areas that people normally didn't go. You know, they would normally stick to, like, the major cities to do shows. Why was it important for you to take your shows to areas that people didn't go, that usually didn't go? You would go to the smaller cities, like the West Virginias, the Pittsburghs, the Alabamas. Why was that important for you?
Because you gotta let them get a chance. You know, you gotta give them a taste of it. You know, you can't just always see that's where I caught a lot of slack, because I brought it to places like those, and I made it affordable for everybody to come. You know what I'm saying? Like, shows used to be like, you was dropping fucking $300 at the door. You know what I'm saying? Or like $250 a booth, shit like that. You know what? Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not everybody can do that. You know what I'm saying? And, you know what I'm saying? I call a lot of slack for doing that shit, man. Making it affordable to people, you know what I'm saying? But they don't need to be that, you know. I know what this shit takes and what this shit don't take, you know what I'm saying? It ain't no need to try to rape the motherfuckers, you know what I'm saying, to come look at dogs and shit, like, when you ain't got, like, you know. So I don't know, but yeah, just because, you know, nobody would bring them places. Like, I went to Waterloo, Iowa because Ethan Gray, I know you guys probably know him as a junior handler or whatever, but he was trying to fight BSL in his area or whatever. They were trying to bring BSL, and he was doing, went to his city council and did a speech or whatever and had all these people. He's trying to teach all these people about the American bully and trying to explain there's a difference between them and the pit bull. So, shit, I brought a show out there so they could see, you know what I'm saying? And the news was there, the paper was there and everything, you know, just shit like that, man. Like, and, you know, I know I ain't going to make no killing out there. I think we had 40 dogs or something, but, you know, just for reasons like that, you know, just for to give, none of them people probably ever come to a show if when I came up there to Waterloo, Iowa. St. Paul, Minnesota, there's never been a show there, you know, I went there. All different places, man. All different places. But that's the reason, man. Give everybody a chance, man.
Just thinking back to what you said, you said you took a lot of heat from that. Who were you taking heat from at that time when you were doing those shows in those areas?
Just other, I mean, it wasn't necessarily those areas, but it's I was taking heat because I was making shit cheaper. You know what I'm saying? Like, making shit cheaper for everybody, I guess. You know, I don't know. I don't know why.
I
didn't see nothing wrong with what I was doing.
They wanted the market to stay at a certain rate, and you made it affordable for people.
You know, I'm that's what I'm assuming. Yeah, that's what I'm assuming. Yeah, from what I heard, you know, but it's all good. That's gonna do what I did.
Yeah, just thinking back during that time, did you feel you were getting support? From, I'm going to say names, I'll just say, during that time you were getting support from the registry that you were doing the shows for during that time. Did you feel you were getting support or no?
For the most part, it was some points where some things, you know,
I guess the reason for that question I was asking, because you remember when they came up with the rules for you only can throw shows within a certain mileage from someone else. Did you feel like other show hosts were trying to deliberately put shows on at the same time that you were, you know?
Yeah. Shit like that, man. It was a lot of times that, you know what I'm saying, that they, shit like that happened, and I say something about it, and they tell me, you know what I'm saying, well, we let you do more shows than you're supposed to anyway, so they had to be cool with it. You know what I'm saying? It was like, a lot of times like that shit fucked me up, bro. A couple of that times fucked me up. That's probably why I really stopped doing that shit, bro, because motherfuckers fucked me up with that shit. That shit ain't cool, man. Shit ain't cool. People do that shit on purpose. And some people, and they try to act innocent about it. But that's another story, you know, altogether. That shit happened to me from different people, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, and for the thing, I'm gonna just only say this: for I'll be damned, okay? If we got a couple people that are throwing BRC shows for us, I'll be damned if I'm gonna let them fucking be out there squabbing, fucking trying to take each other, ruin each other's events and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? How the fuck does that look?
It doesn't look good at all because you're not representing,
you know what I'm saying? Like,
representing the registry.
And then say that they, you know, I don't got nothing to do with that. How don't you got nothing to do with it? You can't prevent that. If I got wind that two of our hosts were doing that, I'd say both of you, neither one of you can do shit. I'll throw this show myself. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand that. How that's cool. Like, it's been going on for ever since before I started doing shows. It was
that frustrating for you?
What's that?
I can imagine that started to really get frustrated for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Otherwise, I'd probably still be there. But, you know. All right. So.
Yeah, it is what it is, man. I completely understand. So.
It's all love. I mean, I appreciate it. You know, I appreciate everything. You know what I'm saying? I truly appreciate everything that I was able to do with that. I ain't trying to take nothing from it, but you know,
yeah,
just shit was, you know, shit was. It might all look good, but you know, the only people that complained about my shit were other show hosts. You know, everybody else that went to the shows were cool. You know, unless they were just coming to hate on some shit. But you know, that's the only time I ever had a complaint was from other show hosts.
You know, I gotta ask you, man. I did not get off topic, but I just thought about it when you was talking about shows. Do you remember, talk about that viral video that you did with Ron Ramos, the Stacking 101, man. That was crazy because did you expect it to really go viral the way it did?
No, I didn't. No, I didn't, man. And we just kind of filmed it and I kind of put it together. And I remember Israel was like, man, you didn't really get the best footage. Or he said it wasn't really that cool or something, but I put it out anyway. And I remember, I think Ryan kind of said it was a little, he kind of wished it was done a little bit better. So but I was just learning how to do videos back then. I was just ready to put that shit out. But, yeah, I can't believe how many people, you know, tell me that.
You know how many people that helped, man? Because people still talk about that, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I see people recommend that, you know, like on the thing. I'll post a link up to it. Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
You know, one of the big things that you had last year, man, that you were actually going around the country with it, man, was the Stack Up or Shut Up. How did that whole concept come about?
Shit, to be honest with you, man, I had that design made up like a few years ago for a T-shirt, man, and I got some T-shirts made and you know, I sold a few, but I just kind of had it. Just sitting around, and all of a sudden, you know, people were always talking about stack-offs, so I kind of just start posting it. And then I got some banners made, but I don't know what the hell if I'm having my banners. I got to get some new banners. But, yeah, so it's always fun, man. I still do it. I just do it in the middle of the ring now instead of bringing it to the stage until I get, you know, some new banners made. But yeah, man, it's just kind of, I do it differently at different shows. Sometimes I would just do like, I'll call like whoever I think the top eight dogs are in the building, call them out to the ring. We'll do it like that. You know, we did it all different ways.
So basically you like to bring the fun back into it.
Yeah. Cause it got too serious, man. And then they wouldn't let me do my fun shows to the very end. They got to not let me do my people's choices until the end. Nobody's even there at the end. You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't do them in the middle of the show. People were complaining about it. Got to the point I couldn't play music even. People were complaining because there was even music playing. And how dare that there be music playing? Music says no place at a dog show. You know, shit like that. Like, it got to be too crazy, man. If people forget what these dog shows came from, you know what I'm saying? I'm like,
so they
from
really
what they
wanted,
are to what they are now.
This is
the thing. You want a fucking UKC or you want an AKC type show? Get a fucking dog. Don't get a dog that is not accepted by the AKC. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want some kind of shows, get a dog that you can go show there. Get a beagle or something. You don't got to have a bully. You don't got to have an American bully. You ain't got to try to change us. Because you got a bully, you know what I'm saying? You picked a bully that what's the pit bull known for? Gangsters, drug dealers have them. They fight, and just because you're in your nice family got one, now all of a sudden everything's supposed to change because to make what you like. You know what I'm saying? Like you gotta understand where you came from. Nobody made you pick that dog, so you know what I'm saying?
So you pretty much was. So everything is regulated, so you are pretty much handcuffed, is what you're saying? Yeah, because I always say that because, you know, at the fun shows at the end, a lot of people are already packing up going home at that point. If you could do it earlier when you already have the biggest crowd, Even if you do it before the show or the middle of the show before the second show, I say that's a good idea.
Right, and that's what I would try to do. And I would try to, you know, after the first show, I would do the, right after the first show, I would do the, usually do the People's Choice. Then they'd have the second show would be going on in the other ring, and then it got to the point where the people in the show, they're scared of their jobs and all this shit, and they nobody, they lost because of that and this and that, so then we couldn't do it no more. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, I don't know. She got to know I do that shit whenever. I'll stop the show and do that shit right now. It don't matter. I do it how I want to do it now. We play the music
that
now. We play the music. We play the music loud now. You know what I'm saying? Nobody complains.
I'm gonna ask you about the DVD you did, the Bully Block Experience Volume 1, State to State, Block to Block. What was the whole concept behind that, and what were some of the yards that you visited during that time?
Shit, that was actually probably an uncompleted project. I didn't have no video since I left Keeping the Booty. Really, I think I had a few with them, but I was putting one together, and I visited I put up. On Facebook, I visited Edwin from Chi-Town Kennels when he had Lil Duke, and I posted that video, and it's got like a ton of probably like 500,000 some views on that one. Like a lot of people have been talking to me about that one over the years. And Heavy Hands Kennels back when Castro was hot, I got some a visit to their yard, and I really got a lot of stuff in my hard drive, man. I never got time to edit, man. I got so much shit, man. It don't make no sense. I need to make a Lost Files DVD or something. Oh, shit, I got so much shit and so many different dogs, like dogs that died and all kinds of stuff, man. Like, I'm just sitting there. I got some shit with Pee-wee before, Texas Cartel's Pee-wee, like a couple weeks before he died. I went and visited him and got some footage with him, man. I got, like, Ron Ramos talking about them, Marco's talking about them, all kinds of shit. I think it's put together. Maybe I need to get with you on that, man. Maybe you can help finish that shit.
Oh, that's what's up, man. Hey, man, we can do it. That's what's up, man.
Yeah, we can do that, man. I got some footage out sitting there with Pee-wee, and I'll send you all of my little clips. See what you can do with it.
Hey, I got to ask you about this. You might not want to talk about it. But I'm going to ask you about this.
What's
up, man? What happened with Daddy and the
iBully,
man, the whole thing with that?
Man, I wasted like 2 years of my life doing that shit, bro. I wasted like 2 years of my life on that shit, bro. I don't know, bro. Like, I don't know. It just went foul for him, man. I mean,
Did you see that coming?
I didn't see that coming at all, bro.
I didn't either, to be honest.
But in all honesty, though, man, as far as being like on some intentional shit, like I don't think like because we were on the way back from somewhere and stuff. Because I was using them to help promote my shows and shit. And I would take them to help out at the shows and film and shit, and give them a little dough or whatever. But just on the way back, one time he was like, "Man, I'm having like they switched some shit overseas, like as far as." Getting these papers, like, it's not, like, I can't just transfer them over like I used to. Like, I had to go through all this shit. And I didn't really understand what he was talking about because I was driving or whatever. But then that's when that shit started happening. And all this, you know, I don't think he intentionally did that shit, but, you know, that shit happened. And, you know, I don't know. I ain't heard from him in, like, in a long time. And then since, like, some shit happened with that show and he started, like, trying to blame me for some shit, I was trying to text him, like, man, there's, you know, because he was, like, making up some shit, like, trying to get some heat off over some shit. And I was, like, after that, I never talked to him since.
Did that hurt your brand a little bit? Because, you know, people can't not totally associated you with the whole iBully, but did they blame you?
I mean,
you
luckily, man... Luckily and thankfully and to God, not really. You know, as far as I know, anyway. You know, I'm seeing some people might. You know, I don't know. But as far as what I could tell, I thought that people would be a little bit more on me about it, but they know I didn't do nothing. I didn't have nothing to do with nobody. You know, I wasn't trying to, like, help him sell those dogs or nothing like that, or, like, advertising or nothing for him like that. So, thankfully, I wasn't.
No, because you was more using it for the media side of things. You wasn't involved
because I work and do other shit, like, so I don't got a whole lot of time to promote like I should. So, he was pretty much just doing a lot of the shit promoting for me, pretty much. And he had given me half of the eyeball. He was like, you didn't have half of it. So, I was like, that. So that's how that went.
Now, you transitioned over from being the MC to show host to now part owner of a registry, man. Talk about how that whole concept, the whole situation even came about.
I don't know, man. I don't know how that shit happened. It was just like, like 2 years before it happened, somebody was trying to get me to go with them, man. And I was like more like really kind of pretty, you know, having a good success still with the shows and everything. And because when I was first doing those shows, I was the only one doing them. You know, like, so people only had their only one spot that they did it. You know what I'm saying? So I was going to all the places because nobody was doing them in those places. You know what I'm saying? Like, Kansas, Kentucky, Alabama, like, a lot of those places, nobody was even doing those shows. Arkansas. And so once I do them in Kentucky, all of a sudden, two people hit me, you're doing a show in Kentucky? Oh, I was going to do one. Like this and that, like the same thing, like, oh, this and that, and then as soon as they see me do it, then they
You mean the people from
shit.
The people from the area were feeling that way?
People from the area, yeah, several people,
okay.
Too, yes, in certain areas. Some people welcome me, but like, if it was an area that I knew somebody had did a show before, I contacted them, you know what I'm saying, like, and said, you mind if I come here and do this? You know what I'm saying? And I never had nobody say no. That's what I was doing at first. But a lot of otherwise, the other places were pretty much nobody had been before. But anyway,
that's what's
happening,
because you really didn't have to do that, because it's not like, yeah, right. So that was pretty good, man.
Yeah. So. And then everybody started doing them all. So then you got fucking 8 people trying to do the same shit, all calling the office saying, "Oh, well, you Kevin does all these shows, so you gotta let me do it." And then you got going on, what's going on?
I can imagine
there no
doing that time.
There wasn't even no room for me this year, anyway. You know, I looked at the schedule about October of last year. I looked at the schedule for 2017, and that shit was already packed. It wasn't even room for me to go throw my 12 more on here.
Do you think a lot of rules were made because of you?
I mean, the rules, I think they're letting people have to let people get away with shit that they didn't because of me. Yeah. Because they let me do whatever. But I didn't get no complaints. You know, that's why they let me do whatever. The only people, like I said, people that complain were on the show. But I never got no bad feedback, so that's why they just let me do whatever.
I'm gonna rewind on you a little bit. Before you became part owner of the BRC, were other registries
mm-hmm.
reaching out to you because they saw how you were grinding for a registry to as far as show hosts and going all around? Did they reach out to you to try to sway you to become a show host for their registry, or even let's say even part ownership or stock in their company?
Between me and you, you know what I'm saying? Just between me and you. Marcos, I talked to Marcos and Cameron, both reached out to me and talked to me and kind of was asking what I was going to do after, because I had announced that I think it was a couple of months before I had announced that the grant, you know, that was going to be my last ABKC show, and nobody knew what I was going to do. Because I was still trying to 100% figure out what I was going to do, because I was going back and forth between this and something else. But BBC, like I said, I talked to both BBCR, and I kind of had a talk with Marco, and because I had worked with Marco a few times in the past, you know, so back when from when I was doing ABKC shows, so he knows, you know, what I can do or whatever, and following I got. So he was trying to talk to me and asking me what it was, but when I was talking to him, I was asking him about the Exotics, and he was like, you know, they didn't register the Exotics, and they're not really trying to pull the crowd that the Exotics pull, and they don't want, because that was right around the time that there was that IBR show, and there was that big thing of big, you know, somebody supposedly had pulled a gun or some shit a while back. Remember that? Well, it was like a year or so ago.
Yes, yeah.
Some shit happened. So he was like, we're not trying to pull, you know, pull that kind of crowd and this and that. And, you know, and so, you know, I probably didn't really think I was too big, good of a fit, you know, for him. But I kind of said, like, something that I was trying to, you know, talking about that I might have wanted, but, you know, I didn't really hear back from him. But, yeah, I didn't think I probably would have been, you know, the right kind of fit probably for that anyways. And also, I did BBCR shows before I started doing ABKC shows. I did a couple BBCR shows, but... And it's like the turnouts for the BBCR shows are the same now as they were then. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it would be like jump-starting something from the beginning. So if I'm going to be jump-starting from the beginning, you know what I'm saying? It might as well be something that's my shit, not somebody else's shit. Unless they're trying to, you know, really give me a, make it beneficial for me.
Were you surprised you got the call from Rick at the time for half ownership of the BRC? Were you surprised?
Well, I mean, he kind of talked to me the year before, you know what I'm saying, because it was going back with there's this other place called the UBKC where Ricky started with before BRC, this other dude. And the rumor was that when he brought on Ricky in Israel, he gave them both $50,000, and they posted up all this money and shit like that. So he was trying to get me to fucking come and do that registry. You got to give me $50,000, motherfucker. Shit. You know what I'm saying? I ain't really confident. You know what I'm saying? I don't give a fuck if it's a rumor or if it's not a rumor. You got to give me what they got. Otherwise, there's no deal. I'm not giving up everything I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what it was. Motherfucker didn't think it was worth it. And so, you know, Ricky was just like, he had asked me the year before, and I was just like, kind of wish, you know, when he first started it, he asked me if I wanted to do it, but I was still kind of a little still strong with the ABKC show, so I was kind of like iffy about it. So, but it took me like another year to kind of make the decision on what I was going to do. And so I just said, fuck it, and did it.
I'm going to ask you, man, because people might get mad that I ask this, but it is what it is, man. Did you feel that you should have got in your heart, a bigger role with the ABKC for the way you were really promoting their brand during the time?
Bro, like I said, man, I appreciate everything that they've done for me. I don't have no bad blood with them, not nobody in the office, the end of the day, nobody like that. But for me to have all these fucking plaques and shit from people that gave me when I left, you know, saying I got like 7 or 8 things, you know, saying thank you for bringing the ABKC to places nobody ever would, giving us a chance, shit for like I was the only person that started making junior handlers free. All the other show hosts were charging like $20 a kid. I would get sponsors and make shit free for all the kids, you know, have fundraisers for Andrew was doing the junior handler thing at the time. You know, saying help raise money for kids for that, help raise money for people with cancer and stuff like that. And for, you know what I'm saying, like how many dogs got registered at all those shows. I did like 50 shows in 3 years. You know how many dogs from all those places that registered that would never have registered or never have thought of it, you know, shit like that. For to consider all that, and then for the dude to get on live and say, "Oh, I got show hosts that say they did a lot for us. They didn't do nothing for us. They should just be happy that they had ABKC, so they were able to do that shit." You know what I'm saying? What the fuck? Did you hear what I said?
Yeah. That had to be hard to hear that or even deal with.
I mean, yeah. I mean, at that point, you know, like, I was like, oh, man, like, all right. And that was it, man. Like, that was it. You know, I'm not the kind of person, like, I know a lot, bro. I worked with all those judges, bro, more than multiple occasions, bro. I know who's down for the fucking cause, who's not down for the cause, who hates who wants to leave, who wants to all this shit, bro. I know shit that he's told me, other people have told me, all that shit, bro. But I don't, you know, if I was like that, I would have been open, spilling all that shit, bro. But I ain't even like that, bro. I don't want to even talk about that shit right now. It should piss me off.
Nah, I understand that. I'm already going to get some inboxes about this because I'm even bringing this up, man. But that's what I do. I report on everything, man. They got people have.
Yeah, I mean, it's all good. It's all good because the other niggas be hurt, you know what I'm saying? But if I'm going to say it like that, if I got all them awards or things thanking me, all this shit for that when I left, and not a damn one is from them. You know what I'm saying? Not a damn thank you, no nothing, bro. Nothing. Just you owe us a couple $100 for show fees still. Make sure you pay it. That was it.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, whatever. Whatever. But, you know, I know, you know, that's just, there's a couple of real motherfuckers in that scene, but the rest of that shit is just, where I'm from, we don't do fake shit, you know what I'm saying, we don't do that fake shit. If you don't fuck with me, you don't fuck with me, you know what I'm saying, don't fucking smile in my face and, oh, Mr. This and that, and the hardest working man, and we can't wait to do this and that, you know what I'm saying, that shit's phony, bro, all that shit is phony, bro. It's a couple real motherfuckers, but for the most part, that shit's phony as hell.
Now, I got to ask you about something before we really jump into the BRC and the whole movement, because I want to ask you a lot about that. Now, this year, you know, we had the passing of Holiday. Did you know him personally or heard about him?
Yeah, I heard about him. I think when I came in, he was just leaving the ABKC maybe, but I know when I came in, he was the only one that was making bullheads. He was making the bullhead trophies, and so that's how I knew who he was. I talked to him a couple times over the years as far as trying to get, like, interviews with him for Keeping a Bully magazine or whatever, but nothing ever, you know, fell through with that.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, I know.
Now, we're going to transition over to the BRC now. Once you got the call from Ricky, was you surprised that he even made that offer for half ownership into the BRC? First of all, I gotta ask that.
Kind of, but you know, I mean, I don't know. To some people, you know, when I tell them that, when they know that that's what it was, they say, "Oh well, half of nothing's nothing." You know what I'm saying? Well, everything is nothing at one point. You know what I'm saying? Every big thing started off
somewhere. You got to start
from nothing. You know what I'm saying? So it's all about, you know, what you make it. If it's going to be worth something, if you make it worth something. And that's what it is. I didn't want to start my own. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people told me start my own. But, you know, I didn't know how that kind of would be taken. You know what I'm saying? Because there's already so many, like, to start a new one. Like, you know, so that was already kind of going, and I kind of liked what he was already doing. Because I've been watching, because, like I said, I've been thinking about it for like a whole year before I finally did it. So, yeah, just, I mean, yeah, it's pretty much half and half, but it's like I just do my own thing and he just does his own thing. You know what I'm saying? It's pretty much what it is.
Now, when you left
registered dogs.
When you left the other registry to begin your journey with the BRC, in the beginning when you started when you did your first show with the BRC as a owner now, did you just get support from the people who were following you with the other registry during that time? Or is that still a work in progress?
It's still,
you know,
a work in progress.
Some people get scared because they.
Some people are scared. A lot of people are scared. A lot of people were down at the beginning, and then I think kind of seen the backfire that they got because of it, and kind of backed off. Some people kind of backed off because, you know, we still do everything by hand, and some people, we ain't fast enough with their paperwork, so they get mad, shit like that. We're trying to, you know what I'm saying, get that straight. But for the most part, you know, I don't know. I think it was about half and half. You know, for the most part, it's a lot of new people. And honestly, it's fresh. It's a breath of fresh air, man. It's not the same. You know what I'm saying? If you come out, you'll see for yourself. Anybody that comes out, you can ask them how that vibe was in the air, and it's fresh, and it ain't all that bullshit in the air, man. It's people that go there to have fun. Like, we try to promote it as a get-together. You know, the dog show part is just a bonus. Like, we're just trying to get together, get people back out and you know, talking with each other and, you know, not acting bougie and shit, showing off their dogs. Like, that's what it's for. Is when I get there, I say, look, at the beginning of the show, before the show starts, I call every breed of dog out to the ring. Everybody bring your dog out here, and we're going to introduce every dog that's in the building right here. I know you didn't fucking bring your dog here to sit in this damn crate. They'll say, bring your dog out here. Like, she was all to bring their dog out here. But I know you bring your dog all the way and leave it in the crate, man. Bring your shit out. Every dog gets to go in the ring, and we introduce them all, and then we start the show. Try to get more personable with everybody. Everybody seems to like that. Let everybody come in the ring, get pictures, shit like that.
What was the feedback behind that when you did something like that?
I mean, people like it. People. I mean, it's just when you start the show, all of a sudden, just everybody just forms in the front, and people are in the ring, walking around, looking at dogs. Cause a lot of them dogs, people see them only on their computer, so they want to see it. So I say, here's your chance. Like, don't be shy. You want to come get a picture with the dog? Come out to the ring and get a picture with it. You know, when people come out there, take selfies, put their kids with the dogs, and take pictures, and you know, shit like that.
Now, I'm going to ask, man, for people who want to register dogs with the BRC, how long is the process realistically in getting your paperwork back? Because you say, like you said, you're trying to still get things together that, you know, give you time to do that. So what's realistically the process if someone wants to register their dog with the BRC?
Well, now... we have Jessica Cook. If you know her on Facebook, Chaos Kennels. She's more along the lines of our secretary now, and we're pretty much just doing everything online. See, before, when we first started taking registrations, we were just like, send us whatever. You know what I'm saying? We were like, send us a picture of your pedigree and pay for it, and we'll get it. You know, and people were sending us in just puffy papers, photocopies of their ID card, UKC ID card, you know, shit like that. And then they're complaining that they don't, you know, even get their papers back. Well, how are we supposed to send you some papers and you just sent us a puffy paper that has the mom and dad, and it's got somebody else's name on it? You know what I'm saying? You got to get that shit in your own name and send us to 3 generations. You know, and then people that do that, we leave them taken care of a lot more. But at the beginning, we were kind of just taking whatever, and so they were piling up. And it takes a good, like, 20 minutes a piece to do them and print them out and shit. And so we just, like, got super backed up. And, you know, we're pretty much caught up for the most part right now. If you're listening and you still don't got your paperwork and you're waiting on it, just contact Jessica Cook. or send us an email to brcpaperwork@yahoo.com and let us know. But we're also, we now do them on, at the shows. You know, most of the shows you'll be able to go and register and get your papers at the show. You know, so I've been having my son come to my shows and do them. Ricky does them at his own shows. As long as you got your paperwork with you, your UKC paperwork or ABKC paperwork, we'll fill it out and do everything there, and you'll get them right there at the show. But otherwise, now we're only going to take them through online, and that's thebullyregistryco.com. And go there and fill out the online form, and Jessica will take care of you. And, you know, we're trying to get the process down to 2 or 3 weeks now. You know, it's been taking a little bit longer, but I think that we've got everything caught up as far as the back people, and, you know, we're pretty much caught up. So we're about to start. As soon as we have a special, then you know that we're caught up. So we're just trying to make sure we get everybody odds and ends tightened up before we have a special.
Now, one of the things that you support are the exotic bullies. Now, do you ever get a backlash from people who are the American bully purists about your support of the exotic bullies?
There's a few people that have straight out told me that, you know, that they would be down with what we're doing if I didn't have them and shit like that. Like, you know, key people. I'm not gonna, you know, name them or whatever, but
yeah.
But you know, it's just like you gotta give them a chance. Like, you gotta come out and see. Like, you know, people got so much. People go off debatable. You know, and think, and let's see what they see on there, and oh, this dog will hear one thing, and that's all they think. Like, we accept, we are not an exotic registry. We are a registry that accepts exotics. You know what I'm saying? There's a difference. Like, we push for exotics for the show ring. You know, so we got three classes, micro, standard, and extreme, and we push for, you know, functional ones that try to get them in the show ring and give them something to work for. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's not just a show where there's just a bunch of dogs that sit on the table. You know, we're trying to get them off the table and into the show ring. That's what we're trying to do. Try to, you know, weed out the good ones, you know, and try to give people, you know, a starting point, you know, to progress and make it better. Like, we don't accept every exotic. We accept exotics that have UKC paperwork or ABKC paperwork or USBR American Bully paperwork. That's it. We don't accept all the other, we don't accept USBR exotic, IBR, ABR, none of that, because you can just breed whatever together and get that, you know what I'm saying? So we want ones that are actually, like, you know, the right kind of pet, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm saying? Not ones that are just straight up a mix. You know what I'm saying? Like two different bulldogs or something. Like, and just call it an exotic. No. Exotic with us is mainly the look.
I guess my question is, how hard is it to bring both those worlds together? Because I won't name the registry, but I went to a certain registry show and in the exotic community, and the big thing was the table stack offs, whereas the show portion literally could have been done in 20 minutes, to be honest, because it was probably 20 dogs that showed in the ring. So how do you bring both the worlds, both the communities together? In other words, still satisfy the people in the exotic world because they do enjoy the table stack offs, and then you have the people who are the American bully purists who said everything is about the show ring, show ring, show ring, show ring.
Right. Because I could just kind of break it up. You know what I'm saying? If I got two shows, I'll do a few things at the beginning, and then we'll do the first show, and then we'll bring in the stack off, and maybe we do a couple other little fun things before we start the second show. And then once we start the second show, like, maybe on the side or something, I'll start the fun show off on the side and keep it going, you know. So it's like, the people, it used to be like people, the exotic people would come to the show because they would want to be at the fun show, But then it's come 6 o'clock and they still didn't have the fun show because they didn't let me do it. You know, and whoever's getting mad and feel like they wasted their day and shit. This way, you know, I kind of gives it to everybody at the same time.
So now you have
the
leeway to really control how you want to do a show. So does that feel good to you now, knowing that you have the leeway to really control how you want to do a show?
Yeah. I like it a lot better. I can do it who I want. We play music, you know, and it's loud, and people don't complain. And, you know, everybody has a good time, man. There hasn't really been no incidents, nothing like that.
Now, I got to ask you this because it's going to lead into something in the next two questions. were you surprised that Ron Ramos had left the ABKC? Were you surprised by that?
No, not at all, man. Like I said, man, like, I know what's going on with them people. You know what I'm saying? I was a good friend of Ron, man. I know what Ron was going through the past year or so. I was surprised that he did it right there, you know, right exactly at the time he did do it. You know what I'm saying? I think it was more along the lines of, you know what I'm saying, talking about it, you know, and not as far as actually, it was going to actually do it, you know what I'm saying? And then he did it. But you know, something happened. You know, but it's not my business to talk about, but something must have happened for him to do it right then, you know what I'm saying?
No, I understand that.
You know, I wasn't totally surprised, but it was just kind of, the way, you know, when he did it surprised me, but I wasn't surprised by it.
No, the reason I brought that up because you've recently, actually he's going to, has that show in Florida for you, correct?
No, actually he's something actually came up for him, some people coming from Holland for some puppies or something, so he is not going to be able to come to that one. But I do have him for our nationals November 12th. So he's going to be our judge for that. And he also judged. We had a show in California with Team Reloaded, and he was a judge for out there. We had him out there.
Yeah, let's talk about the BRC Nationals this year. Same weekend as another registry, man. What was the thought process in that, man?
Man, I don't know, man. Like, the thought process was that I had a show schedule I was going to do November 17th that I was going to do in Amarillo, Texas. But I ended up canceling that because that's the weekend that they usually do the Nationals. You know what I'm saying? And so I talked to the Purina Farms, and I talked to them, I don't know what it was, July or whenever I first announced it. I announced it a long time ago. I know that, like February or something. But the only day the whole year that they had open was that Sunday, November 12th. And so I was like, that's the weekend before? Perfect. You know what I'm saying? Every time they've ever done it, it's been at the end of November. And then all of a sudden, they did that shit the same week. But I don't know. I don't know.
Because you know, most of the overseas shows are on Sunday, so I was surprised.
Yeah.
Man. I was like,
why it was a Sunday period of farms. Yeah, but that's the reason why, because that's the only day they had open for the whole rest of the year, and I wanted to do something in there. And then I had came down to MC BRC at a national the year before, and Ricky had me to come MC it, and it was on a Sunday, too, and that was in Kentucky, and it was like 90-some dogs showed up, so it was pretty cool that it was a Sunday, so I figured, I think it should do all right. I'm about to do some crazy specials, like half off.
I was
going to
ask you that, man. What's planned for the weekend?
I don't know, man. I'm probably not going to go to Chicago, but I'll be in St. Louis, though. I mean, I probably ain't going to go to ABKC Nationals.
I got to ask this question, man, because, you know, the BBCR had their nationals. I think they had it the same area, same arena.
Yeah, same place.
You know, I'll just say it. From what I heard, because I wasn't there, they had a low turnout. what's going to be different for the BRC Nationals to actually bring the dogs out to Nationals for the BRC this year?
I mean, people fuck with us. Pretty much. I mean, I hope they're going to come out, man. People fuck with us, though. I mean, it's going to be a damn. What's up?
Have you had commitments yet on who's coming out?
We got some booths that are sold, but you know, it was our national event, so we were going to try to do a little more expensive of booths and kind of do a little bit of nicer things. But you know, that being the same weekend, we're probably going to do some half off special with a proof of purchase of a ABKC booth or something, try to tie it into it, make sure people, because it's only 4 hours away, so if you're going south or you're going west, you know, you're pretty much on your way to come through on Sunday, so we're going to try to snag some people that way. But I've had some people, you know, they're not going to go to one, they said they're coming to this one, and some people say they're not coming to this one, going to that one. I mean, it is what it is, man, but we're still going to do our thing. I think we'll get a straight turnout. You know, it may not be a fact that, you know, yeah, I wanted it, but, you know, it's still going to be cool, though.
From someone who has supported the Midwest like you have all these years and repped the Midwest, are you getting that support from homegrown for your show?
Yeah, I'd say it's half and half. Some people are just still kind of iffy about it, you know. A lot of people are iffy about it because, you know, like we don't care, you know. We know, like, I can't sit here and tell somebody, with us being new as we are, look, if you're going to rep BRC, you're going to only rep BRC, you're not allowed to go to any other shows, and we don't fuck with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's no way we could say that to somebody. And why would we say that to somebody? We're here for that same reason, to be another option. You know what I'm saying? Because some, you know, if you don't like an option that's out here, try us. We're not trying to take over or be the next on top, say we're trying to shut shit down. We're just trying to be here too, man. That's all. Trying to offer another experience. You know, I'm trying to do it a different way. Did I get off the subject?
No, that's what's up, man. Any secrets on how the National Awards going to look? Like, who's putting that together?
As far as what? All the awards, you say?
Yeah, how the awards, who's doing the awards this year?
Angela, she always got some custom, she made the custom BRC awards for us, so anything, just like they got the ABKC ones, we can got them with the BRC logo. So we're going to get something cool with her. I always fuck with Patrick Volk, too, at Anchor Awards. You know, we get some shit from him too, but yeah, we're gonna get something cool, man. Try to do something different for this one, man, and make it a little nicer than usual, man. We gotta try to pull him in one way or another, man. You know, we're trying to come up with something, you know, special too, probably to be announced.
Now, is there anything like special like going on the day before or the evening after Nationals or?
Nah. See, we're just regular. We're just regular folk. You know what I'm saying? I don't got that football money to do all that shit, man. We just throw the show, man. We gotta come. Maybe next year. But right now, we just go try to from the bottom, man. So we just do what we can do, man, to try to grow, man. So, you know, it would be nice to have to have that kind of backing. It would be great, but. We don't, you know what I'm saying? So we rely on our mouthpieces to make that shit happen. So,
okay.
Maybe next year we'll do something nicer. But this is, I'm glad we got the Purina Farms, though, because it's a very nice venue. I don't know if you've been out there or not.
Because we got 10 minutes left. I wanted to ask, man, have people reached out to you as far as throwing shows for the BRC? Or are people still nervous or not sure.
Yeah, we got a show September 9th in 2 weeks by a show host, Royalty Bully Kennels. They're throwing a show. We had Leo McKinney. He's going to do an ABKC show now. But he did a couple VRC shows for us. We got a new one, ABKC show host, though, that's going to be doing shows for us. But I'm not going to say who it is until he announces it for sure. But just know it's somebody that was in the North Carolina area. So it'll be a North Carolina show coming up. But I'll let him announce it, you know what I'm saying, when he decides to. I don't want to prematurely put him out there and shit. But.
Yeah.
But it'll be a surprise, hey, though. It'll be a surprise.
What's some areas you want to hit that you haven't hit yet as a show host?
Well, I'm trying to get back up in the Northwest for sure. So I'm locking in on Washington for November 4th, I think, Washington State. But I want to get into, I want to throw something like by Mount Rushmore. I want to hit like all the big ass monuments. Like I want to do like a Mount Rushmore area show and like a Grand Canyon show, like shit like that, man. To make like a, be like a life experience to come to that moment, you know. Not just like come and go, like make it like a thing. You know, I don't know. It's all in the works, but. But I've been talking to some place in Phoenix, man. That's kind of by Grand Canyon. I ain't heard from the places, but I'm looking for like by Mount Rushmore and some other shit like that. But and I definitely am trying to get up in the New York East Coast area, man. I've been trying to get up there forever, but I can't seem to find a venue up there.
You made me think about that since you said the East Upper East Coast. You know, you had a great relationship with the Bully Tunnel. Have any any of them reached out to you as far as throwing a show for the BRC?
No, not too much. But I fuck with Caesar America though, and Prez and everything, PBM, everybody. You know, we're cool and everything. But yeah, no, I haven't really heard too much from them lately, man. I don't know what's going on with them. I've seen a little Caesar on there a little bit lately, but I ain't heard from them. I know Erica she's like an EMT or something, so she probably tied up most of the time.
Yeah, because I think Fred's back. I think Fred's back in Texas now, right?
Yeah. Something's over here, man. Shouts out to Fred too, man, for this one.
Go ahead. Sorry about that.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, yeah, but.
No, I'll say one of the things that I was noticing that you were doing is hitting the Florida area. Why is that important to you?
Shit, to be real, man, my dad lives down there, so I'm gonna go visit him, man. So, but I'm just trying to get down there and give him something different, man. But I was trying to come to, like, there's certain places I went and that I wasn't really too warmly welcome. So I'm trying to try to do it again, you know what I'm saying? I did one in Tallahassee with ABKC too, it was, like, kind of little, but somebody had, I think, threw some shit to say they, like, double booked. No, that's what they did. I had the show in Tallahassee. I had it for, like, I had announced it in, like, February, and it was, like, September or something. And then last minute, I noticed they let this other show host book a show this next weekend in Orlando. Like, right on top of my shit, like, the regular show host that always did it. Like,
wow.
It was, like, 150 miles away from my shit. And then that was one of the reasons. I was like, man, how did you do that? My shit's been on there forever. They were like, oh, he's a regular. Like, you just got to deal with that. Like, so I'm supposed to take the L, like. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit happened like 10 times. So you're just supposed to take the L, like, because they let me do a lot of shit, so you're just supposed to take an L, man.
Man. Hey, Kev, man, I really appreciate you coming on tonight, man, just sharing your experience.
Man, I appreciate you even reaching out to me or want me on here, man. I really appreciate that, man. I feel honored that you even want me. That you even think people want to know what I'm talking about, man. So I appreciate you for even bringing me on here, man.
Yeah, you know, because people think I'm high with a registry. I'm not. I do my own thing, and I talk to everyone. Because, you know, I saw the interview you did with Ty, so I know that was kind of hard for him. He probably took a little heap about that, being a part of the registry.
Yeah.
But, I listened to it. And, man, like I said, man, I really appreciate you coming on tonight, man. Giving people a different option as far as American Bully with the BRC, and I really appreciate the things you've done as far as spreading the message and the love of the American Bully Breed. So I really appreciate you coming on. And any last words you want people to know about the BRC before we wrap this up?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to come to a show and you want to see bullies in the ring and you want to see bullies outside of the ring, come to the BRC show, man. Because we have bullies. You know what I'm saying? All of our champions that we have are bullies, and I'm proud of everybody that's a champion, grand champion or whatever. It's always some real nice dogs in the ring. They might not be the biggest shows yet, but, you know, they grow. And like I said earlier, you know, you got to have start somewhere. We ain't starting with huge dogs, you know. We didn't start out by owning huge dogs, you know what I'm saying, that nobody could register elsewhere, so they had to register with us, and we didn't start with all that extra money and all that shit. We just started from, we're just regular people like you guys. Our judges are regular people, people that have been here from the beginning, people that have been OGs from the beginning. That's the people that we got judging for us. We don't got snappy judges that have been, you know, judging Labradors their whole life. We got judges that have helped create the American Bully from the beginning, you know, and that's what it's about. Like, is we're here, we're all regular people, nobody's better than nobody else. We're all just here to give you guys another option, experience, and bring the fun back into it, man. So that's what we're about. So hit us up.
Tell BRC. Everybody about Nationals again, because Ron Ramos is the judge for Nationals, man.
Yeah, Ron Ramos, man, come see Ron Ramos at the Purina Farms, man, the best dog show facility in the country, November 12th, Sunday, November 12th, man. It's going down, man. If you bought a ABKC Nationals booth, show us that, and we'll give you your booth half price, except for ringside. All ringsides are staying the same. Any other booth, half price with purchase of a ABKC booth, man. We're only 3 hours from the ABKC Nationals, so if you're driving from the west or south, it's not that far out of the way to come in. Chill with us on Sunday, man. It's going to be going down, so come check us out.
Hey, man, I appreciate your time. Awesome. Coming on Bully Talk with Zeb Pitts, Kev.
Man, I appreciate you, man. It's been an honor, man. And thanks to everybody, man, that has supported BRC, man, and not caring what your friends think, man. Appreciate it. And everybody that's going to come check us out, man, everybody's welcome, man. All bullies are welcome, man. Nobody's going to be turned away. And thanks, Zeb, man. It's an honor, man, to be on here, man. Thanks a lot.
No problem, man. Peace out, Kev.
All right, peace, man. Thanks.
That was Kev Green, man. BRC, part owner of the BRC again, man. His Nationals, same weekend, November 12th, down at Purina Farms. Great venue. If you get a chance, check it out. Man, once again, man. Much, much prayers, much love go out to the people down in Houston, Texas. You know, it sounds like a cliche when they say, you know, we're praying for you, but not only do you pray for them, man, you know, show your support behind them through monetary giving, if you can't do that, through donations, or even spreading the word out through social media or messages, man, just to let people know that what is really going on down there, because you don't need mainstream media to do that. And I really appreciate the love and support with the Bully Talk with Zeb Pitts brand. Once again, like I said, I'm excited to bring the show back to Blog Talk Radio. Please share if you really enjoyed this segment and any other segment. Also, I have that segment, Real Talk with Zeb. If you enjoy that also as well, please share and let people know about the different interviews I have with that. And that's pretty much it, man. Oh, stay tuned for tomorrow, special episode of Bully Talk with Zeb Pitts. I'm going to, if you remember that picture that went viral with the guy who was holding that pit bull in the water, I'm going to speak with the owner of that dog tomorrow, Deanna, and we'll find out what's going on down there in the Houston area. And thank you for the love with the Bully Talk with Zeb Pitts brand. I'm out.
Happiness. Listen up about your woes.